The third Sunday of Lent, the epistle is taken of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, be imitators of God, as very dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and delivered himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God to ascend in fragrant odor. But immorality and every uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as becomes saints, or obscenity, or foolish talk, or scurrility, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For now, this, and understand, that no fornicator, or unclean person, or covetous one, for that is idolatry, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one lead you astray with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Do not then become partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk then as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. Please let us stand for the Holy Gospel, which is that of St. Luke. At that time Jesus was casting out the devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb man spoke. And the crowds marveled, but some of them said, "By Beelzebul, the prince of devils, he casts out devils." And others, to test him, demanded from him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be brought to desolation, and house will fall upon house. If then Satan also is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils by Beelzebul. Now, if I cast out devils by Beelzebul, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When the strong man, fully armed, guards his courtyard, his property is undisturbed. But if a stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he will take away all of his weapons that he relied upon and will divide his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he roams through waterless places in search of rest. On finding none, he says, 'I will return to my house, which I left.' And when he has come, he finds the place swept and adorned. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Now it came to pass, as he was saying these things, that a certain woman lifted up her voice from the crowd and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the breast that nursed thee.' But he said, 'Rather blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it.'" Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please sit it. Let not the sun go upon your anger. Give no place to the devil. Says St. Paul to the Ephesians. And the reading that we have today from St. Paul, he wants us to walk as children of light. And he mentions all of the things that will come upon the wrath of God. That is, foolish talking, scurrility, uncleanness of heart, and many other sins. He wants us to walk in love, as Christ did. Therefore, he refers to one capital sin that we would like to talk about, since we've been talking about all of the Sundays about different capital sins, and one that nowadays we struggle, many families, children, teenagers, school, relationships in society, in general, which is the sin of anger, or this capital sin of anger. It's a passion that should be, as a passion is a movement of the soul, a hunger, a thirst towards something that should be controlled under right reason, So every passion that we have is neither good or bad, but has to be controlled. As long as it is under right reason, we are spiritual beings, we are rational beings, and therefore, in order to walk in justice and truth, as St. Paul is telling us, in order to walk in love, we need to restrain our passion of anger that so many times is becoming a problem, not only for children, teenagers, but it's really anger. It's a problem that we deal in society in many ways. Anger, when it is not under that control of right reason, obscures the eyes of the soul and does not permit us to see the unreasonableness of our reply. In other words, anger that is not controlled affects our judgment. The eye disturbed by anger cannot see, says Saint Bernard. Anger is also compared to a fire that leads into all different species of sin. That's why we call anger, we call that a capital vice. Why is that? In the sense that it produces many consequences in the soul with many manifestations. Anger is the inordinate seeking of revenge or an unreasonable opposition to a person or a thing. That is the definition of the Baltimore Catechism. And anger, therefore, is the source of many sins, contumely, when we are angry at another. Mockery. Mockery is a source of anger, which is very common with teenagers at home, younger brothers with older ones. They start mocking each other, they start fighting a little bit, and then it becomes anger is then out of control. It's also against our neighbor. When we are angry at our neighbor, easily it becomes the state of anger. When we start with calumny, detraction, gossip, backbeating the person, that's sometimes out of anger. It can be out of envy, as Father pointed out last week, but also out of anger, we start doing all of the things against our neighbor. Also anger against God, that leads us to blasphemy. Quarrels and even murders are as an extreme, but they are the root of all those sins. That moving passion is anger, and therefore we need to be attentive to this passion that resembles a fire in its vehemence and sinfulness if it takes over on a man. Anger is opposed to that virtue of meekness. We often read in Scripture, our Lord, meek and humble of heart. Right? That meekness, what is meekness? Is the virtue that regulates and moderates the passion of anger and control its impulses under right reason. That is why meekness comes from humility, but pride causes anger. So humility causes meekness, the sin of pride causes anger. St. Thomas Aquinas says that nothing is more powerful than meekness, for as fire is extinguished by water, so a mind inflated by anger is subdued by meekness. However, we should understand about the difference in between anger as a sinful act that denotes hatred and persevered anger, and also what the scriptures today, St. Paul says that the wrath of God, the anger of God will come upon all of the different sins. When he mentions sins, he says when you're unclean, covetousness, and all of the things, the wrath of God will come upon. What does it mean that? What do we mean when we read in Psalm 4, be angry and sin not? Well, that there is an anger that is really conformable to right reason. According to St. Thomas Aquinas explains that being angry about the right thing and in the right way is virtuous. But avoiding anger at all times may be a sign of weakness. Obviously, the movement of the passion of anger in certain ways is good when it is under control. St. Thomas Aquinas notes how it is advised not to get angry over things that one should. He calls it unreasonable patience. This is shown in the case of someone who fails to correct the wicked one and does not react against sinful actions, or someone who does not have hatred of sin. In other words, the wrath of God described in today's reading of St. Paul is because he's angry at the sin. He's not angry at the sinner, but he is at the sin. We all have to have that hatred of sin. If a soldier goes out to battle, obviously he has to be moved by a certain anger, that passion that will lead him to defend his country, or anger against an injustice to be done. Of course, then we should be angry when we face injustices, the sin of abortion that causes innocent lives to die, different crimes that should cause us indignation and desire for just vindication. Think about our Lord in St. Luke when he cast out the sellers and, in the temple. He cast them away. He flipped them people out. And he said, my house should be called a house of prayer. And you converted this house in a house of thieves. Remember that? So our Lord there shows that passion of anger in this way that the scripture tells us, be angry and sin not. Angry about a particular sin, angry that is controlled and subdued by meekness and under right reason. So righteous angers should prompt us to act for the good, to have a zeal to correct fraternally as an act of charity, in order to show our beloved ones that they can live a happy and virtuous life. And what is this thing? How is a very manifestation or a very good example that we can help us to realize this? Well, the case with parents at home. We should correct our children. It's a main problem in many families today. Many folks out there, they don't understand when parents are correcting, you know, the children, and they show a certain anger, but as an expression of correcting and giving right discipline. We have this, otherwise, would be unreasonable patience, as St. Thomas Aquinas says. You know, some people who just are afraid of correcting. You know, they didn't understand that. But that can take place at home if parents fail to discipline one's children. And it is because of the virtue of justice that it is a duty of parents, and they are such in a position of obligation to correct one's children. As St. Alphonsus Liguori points out, to be meek does not imply that in order to show kindness or to avoid the displeasure of another, we should omit to correct him with just rigor when such correction is necessary. The prophet Ezekiel says, compare someone who furnishes a pillow to sinners that they may peacefully sleep in their deadly slumber. You know? He says, thus says the Lord God, woe to them that sew cushions under every elbow and make pillows for the heads of persons of every age to catch souls. You have strengthened the hands of the wicked that he should not return from his evil way and live. From the prophet Ezekiel. Well, obviously, we need, and it's a duty then, out of justice for parents to correct one's children. Fail to correct, it could be contrary to justice and contrary to the position of parents in a family. Obviously, and this is the difficult part, and that's why it's a virtue, meekness is a virtue, and anger can become very sinful, if we don't do that out of charity. As the Catechism teaches, to love is to will the good of the other. The fraternal correction, in every way, has to be done not about the brother, but about the brother's sin. And here is the difficult part. We should not correct, neither out of pride, nor out of selfishness, frustration, or rage. It should always be done moderately. Our anger can be sinful if it is too fierce. When children see their parents or teachers only motivated by anger or frustration, they assume that discipline is just a personal matter. They won't obey us. They won't really have that respect. From the book of Proverbs, we see the wisdoms of parents. I would recommend you to read the book of Proverbs, going over there are many ones that they talk about, you know, the wisdom of parents in education of children. The book of wisdoms in general, Proverbs, Ecclesiasticus, they are very good counsels and good way for parents to read. It says this, he that spareth the rod hated his son, but he that loved him corrected him betimes. Book of Proverbs, you see? St. Paul to the Ephesians chapter 6. And you, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and correction of the Lord. We should be able to correct with firmness, but also with sweetness. Furthermore, St. Paul exhorts to consider our own defects, that we may have compassion for our neighbor. This is in more than just in our daily relationships, transcends a little bit the family environment, but these words are always good to remember before we judge about correcting somebody. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in any fault, you who are spiritual, instruct such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. From St. Paul to the Galatians. So he says that, you know, think about your own sins before correcting someone else. It's just your conscience of that. So then, how can we overcome this state of anger that so many times will feel this frustration, you know, in every type, in the family environment and in our working environment, in every place? How or how parents can do to correct their children and discipline them wisely? First of all, for children in the family, for teenagers, younger ones, they have to try to avoid correcting each other. And remember, they have to remember that to leave oneself in the hand of anger is a very dangerous thing. So if, you know, that works out for younger brothers and older brothers. So it shouldn't be as long as mom and dad says, well, probably to the, well, now you're responsible for your younger child, that's one thing. But, you know, as a family with brothers and sisters, it's not good to be correcting each other, because that can live in the kids that cannot control the anger that well. So it's better to let parents know, and for the children back home to practice obedience, especially younger brothers and sisters being obedient to the older ones, and that will preserve a little bit of the atmosphere of peace rather than being correcting each other all the time. That's why St. Augustine says that when anger has entered into the soul, once anger has entered, it's very difficult to expel it. And we should then close the gate so anger will not enter. In other words, too, when we have angry thoughts, when we have anger and we have thoughts about people that has done wrong to us, we should turn immediately our thoughts back away to our Lord. I mean, it would be when we notice that we are even trying to correct our children, and we are noticing that we try to admonish about someone, about something, if we notice that anger is starting to enter, we just do better, you know, restrain and turn with a thought to our Lord. When thoughts about evils that people have done wrong to us, say a quick prayer. If we know that we will be in a difficult situation, that we will be in a circumstance that probably will put us in an occasion of sin and we cannot avoid, that may lead us to anger, well, it's good. Prepare yourself beforehand with good resolutions. Remember that it's better to be silent, answer with sweetness, or to pray to God to resist the temptation. And it's better that rather than yield to the passion. Thus, to yield to anger is never profitable, either to ourselves or to others. Even if it produces no other evil, it at least robs us of peace. Because we don't correct anyone, we fail to correct, we disfigure our face as it was intended to be created by God. We were created in the image and likeness of God. And there is nothing worse, and it would be nice sometimes to even show to our children, to show to ourselves, and to look at ourselves in a mirror, says the spiritual author, and see the face of someone who is angry. You know, the head, you see the color that, you know, turns like a tomato, reddish, you know, reddish face, the wrinkle here, the forehead is wrinkled. We have a funny face when we get angry. It would be nice, you know, so maybe the wife and the husband, they can show a mirror. Look at yourself now, you see, don't get seized, changing, you know. And mostly it robs man out of that peace, that tranquility of soul, okay? So we anger is never good. And that's why we need to ask for the graces, praying to the Sacred Heart of our Lord. And I'm going to tell you this that was taught to me at the seminary. And it says that whenever you deal with problems of anger, pray the litany to the Sacred Heart. It has done extraordinary results to those who are dealing with anger. Our Lord says, learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart. And in return, we have a quick prayer when we are dealing with anger. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, turn my heart, make my heart into thine. You know? Because we have that. Make my heart like unto thine. You see, the family rosary. Remember the promises of the Blessed Mother. I will bring peace to your home. You know, the daily promises of the family rosary. That helps. The rosary is a weapon of concord, a weapon of peace. Okay? So, to preserve an atmosphere of meekness in the house, pray the family rosary. Read about the Holy Scripture to learn about the life of our Lord. Remember what Saint Jerome says, ignorance of Scriptures is ignorance of Christ. We should read those beautiful pages of the life of our Lord, the Gospels, you know, read about the Passion of our Lord. You know, St. John's account of the Passion is a beautiful thing. You know, the whole movie of the Passion of Christ, it was done out following that script, you know, not only from the visionary Catherine Emmerich, but also on the following the structure, the account of the Passion according to St. John. Read the Passion of Christ in the Gospel. You will learn how did our Lord react? How did he do? How was he doing when he had to deal with his enemies, when those people were mocking at him? What did he do in all of the stations of the cross? You know, which was his reaction? Learn about that. Okay, so read the scriptures in this time of Lent. Learn about the life of our Lord, the Passion of Christ, and how to overcome evil with good. Learn of me, says our Lord, because I am meek and humble of heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. Okay? And so that's why we have this devotion to the Sacred Heart, the Stations of the Cross during Lent, to try really to, if we are dealing with the passion of anger, if we notice that we are suffering from this, we have these spiritual remedies, and we just have to put that into action, you know, start working on that, and ask our Lord in Holy Communion, when our Lord is sacramentally present in our souls with his divinity, soul divinity of Christ in our souls, just pray for him, you know, pray to him that he will give us that meekness in our soul, so to be able to correct our children wisely with meekness, firmness and sweetness. Okay, so we do that. We will try to do that. So may our Lord bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.